Joining me now to talk about this issue is Jason Mishiak, who is a features writer for Political Flair and also an attorney. Jason, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Laura. How are you?
I'm great. I'm watching my puppy just knock over a table in my studio because, you know, in my mind, Jason, what could possibly go wrong bringing a puppy into a studio? Wonderful. Nope. I blame myself completely. I will say that.
Exactly. I can relate.
Looking at politics these days sometimes, though, it often can be a matter of thinking to yourself, well, it's like watching puppies trying to navigate what's happening on Capitol Hill and, of course, in the Oval Office. And we are seeing a bit of fawning, so to speak, from those who are seeking the endorsement of the former president. And that's not nothing really new, per se. But tell me, what's the latest on Mo Brooks? Why is he afraid that he might lose Trump's endorsement?
Well, because he might lose the primary. Donald Trump doesn't like to lose. And right now, unexpectedly, he's behind, significantly behind, Katie Britt, who is 50, a woman who had been on Senator Shelby's staff, so new to elective politics. And Mike Durant, who's kind of come out of nowhere, a former military veteran. And even though polling for primaries is notoriously difficult and that right now it looks like Brooks is getting beat significantly in a state where the primaries result in a runoff unless you have over 50% in the initial vote. You're going to have a runoff between the top two, and there is fear that Brooks will not even be in the top two. I think certainly that information has gotten back to Donald Trump, and I think he's terrified that his endorsement will look meaningless, if not hurtful. In Alabama, it won't have significant ramifications as to the general race, where a Republican is going to win anyway. But that's not true everywhere. And the same dynamic is playing out in other states. So it's a little bit interesting.
It is interesting to think about. I mean, Mo Brooks is usually, when you're talking about incumbents, obviously they already have an advantage, one with name recognition, even more of an advantage, one that was present, of course, for the January 6th, stop the steal rally before people marched to the Capitol. I mean, you would think that he would be in lockstep, at least for those who have supported Donald Trump in the past and that base. You know, what has changed significantly? Has it been the leadership who's within the Republican Party? I mean, obviously he has singled out and pointed out Senator Mitch McConnell for one.
Well, yeah, that's one thing that has significantly changed is McConnell's relationship with Donald Trump plays a factor into this race itself. But, you know, what you're asking for is with respect to Alabama and why a Trump endorsement wouldn't, you know, almost clear the way for a candidate. I think it's that Alabama's a little bit gun-shy in nominating people with problems in the past. And Mo Brooks didn't look all that stable talking on January 6th. And he hasn't sounded particularly good in the year or two in the interim. There's a desire, I think, among the party to get rid of the Mo Brooks type and bring in more of the Katie Britt type, you know, a Gen X woman, something desperately needed by the Republicans, who does very well on the stand, I think, you know, that her relationship with the people that she's gone around with in Alabama, I think people have been impressed. She's already backed by Joni Ernst, and Senator Cornyn has donated money. So this is, I see it as somewhat of a microcosm of, you know, the direction the Republican Party is going to go, not just in 2022, in other states where it might matter as to who wins the general election, but whether the party is going to follow Donald Trump wherever he says he wants to go, or more of a mainstream view of that brought about by Mitch McConnell.
And, you know, there was a 90-second ad, I understand, that he recently took out where he's calling for Mitch McConnell to be ousted as the Republican Senate leader. Let's play a little bit of what that sounds like. I'll have you respond on the other side.
Yeah. I'm Mo Brooks, candidate for the United States Senate in Alabama. Today, I unveil my pledge to America to fire Mitch McConnell. If elected to the Senate, I will not vote for Mitch McConnell for leader, and I will do everything in my power to ensure that Republicans choose a conservative to be leader. America can't afford a Senate leader who is a weak-kneed, debt junkie, open-border rhino Republican, and who, worse yet, sells out America for special interest group cash. Today, Mitch's cash is coming at me again because I am a principled conservative and have President Trump's endorsement. That's the battle across America. McConnell versus Trump in a war for the heart and soul of the Republican Party. McConnell will do everything he can to defeat me because he's determined to stop the MAGA movement and Donald Trump's endorsed candidates for the U.S. Senate. I urge my opponents, Katie Britt and Mike Durant, to join me. Do you stand with grassroots conservatives or Mitch McConnell and the rhinos? Sign this pledge and tell conservatives you'll fire Mitch McConnell too. I hope Republican Senate candidates nationwide will sign this pledge and send a message to America that we stand with Donald Trump, not Mitch McConnell. If you will support us, please visit firemcconnell.com.
Well, that's quite an ad, Jason. I mean, he's certainly hoping to score some points with former President Trump. Is it, you think it'll be successful?
Well, there'll be a little bit of bite to it. I suspect an ad like that will make people scratch their heads. And yet, you know, Mitch McConnell has been so responsible for, you know, so many of what Republicans consider huge successes that to suddenly turn it around and make him the enemy, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. It sounds more out of desperation than out of anything truthful. Nowadays, a rhino means simply doesn't support Donald Trump 100% fully. In any world where a Cheney is a rhino, rhino means nothing more than, you know, following Trump. The ad will probably have a bit of an effect depending upon whether ads affect much of anything nowadays. But, you know, virtually nothing he said in it is truthful. Mo Brooks is supported by the Club for Growth. He's gotten plenty of money from them. It's not like he's suddenly some outsider. But that's, you know, that's the role he wants to play, the guy fighting for everything that the Republicans have believed in for 4 to 5 years versus these two newcomers who can't be trusted. And, you know, like I said, I think that's why the race is worth watching, despite the fact that, you know, whoever wins the primary is going to win the general election and is going to vote the same way on pretty well every bill that comes across a president's desk. But where it could matter, you know, are states like in Ohio where you have the same dynamic. And Mitch McConnell will watch those far more seriously. Ohio, Wisconsin, a few other places where McConnell's big fear is that Trump, goes with nothing but loyalty and somehow picks the most extreme candidate, not necessarily the one that has the best chance in the general election. And that's where the friction is between McConnell and Trump. You see it playing out here in Alabama a little bit with very little practical difference in the end, other than indicative of which way is the party going to go? Do they want to get Trump behind them? Are they going to follow him through 2024? There are no guarantees in this, and so this will be one of the first signs, this primary.
I mean, it is going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. But also what's interesting to me is the way in which we see so often the blueprints that are created during political advertising campaigns and obviously grassroots organizing and trying to figure out what's going to stick. We looked at the Virginia gubernatorial race, obviously, and the question prior to the election of Glenn Youngkin was, would the 10-foot pole extension and distancing between himself and Donald Trump prove to be an Achilles heel? Would a focus on what parent issues are, so to speak, and the school-related issues, would that be a winning argument? How would Democrats fare under these circumstances? These questions were looked at to figure out, okay, now here will be the blueprint that might emerge. And I'm wondering, as we look to, of course, Mitch McConnell, who you and I both know is far more interested in himself being the majority leader again and this year and 2024 than he cares about Trump being the president ever again. Does he have the support? It seems like, there are people like Kevin McCarthy, who seems to be always wondering whether he will get the support and the votes he needs. And you have Mitch McConnell, who seems to be his, even though he's the Senate's counterpart, always, infinitely confident that he will, once they reclaim, he believes, the Senate, he is the only person that will be the majority leader. Do you think that the confidence that McConnell displays is justified in terms of the votes he would have and Mo Brooks' statement being irrelevant?
Well, his statement regarding voting for McConnell is irrelevant.
Right.
There is no conceivable way that if the Republicans win the majority, they will not, Mitch McConnell will not be the majority leader, whether Trump's hair goes on fire or not. The Republicans have seen that McConnell is willing to be utterly shameless in ways that a lot of them might say, I can't quite go that far. especially with the Supreme Court justices, things like that. McConnell is willing to do it. And so McConnell has no worries about the Republican caucus. What Mo Brooks says in an ad about, I invite everyone across the country to, not vote for McConnell. It's just not going to happen. And to be honest, I really don't think it's going to have any impact here in Alabama. In Alabama, if the ad has an impact, it would be, I'm the one who will do 100% what Trump says. That's what you want. So vote for me. These other two, you can't trust. And in fact, they call Mike Durant a Trojan horse. Katie Britt worked for Richard Shelby for years. She's proven she's a solid conservative. I don't think Mitch McConnell fears Mo Brooks' promise that he's not going to vote for him as majority leader. I think Mitch McConnell worries far more about a Mo Brooks type winning in Ohio or some of those other states where the general election could go either way, and the 10% of voters that decide elections look at the Trump pick, the completely loyal all the time, as that guy's way out there. I'm just going to vote for the Democrats, a lot safer. And McConnell has worried about that since 2018. And that's been his biggest fear. And we've seen it play out. I can't recall off the top of my head any specific examples, but certainly played out in the House where, you know, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene defeating a neurosurgeon and you know, things just, you know, bizarre stuff where in the most extreme Trump areas, you know, that's all it takes is his endorsement. And I think going into 2022, Trump assumed that his endorsement would win out over anything. And the fact that it looks like his guy ain't even going to make it to the final is not only humiliating to him, but making him rethink some of his endorsements at all. In fact, there's even talk, I was reading a little bit about this in preparation to talk to you, about him giving a second nomination and saying Brooks is not who he once was. And maybe he would just endorse another person also without yanking his Brooks endorsement. It's just bizarre. But wow. In terms of the way Trump looks at this particular race and its symbolism, if his guy doesn't even make it to the final, that's a problem, because that'll be a story in and of itself. Trump's endorsement is not something that is critical, period. You know, even in the reddest state or one of the reddest states going.
You know, that is fascinating to think about what that would mean. And the idea of sometimes, you know, you want to be very, very, you know, reluctant and not want to actually extend your endorsement. You want to be quite, you know, thinking about, well, you know what, limited in the way you do so, because you want it to mean something. By the time an endorsement is actually given, you want it to mean something. On the flip side, if you are handing it out like candy, and it's being thrown back to you as if it's somebody rejecting your Halloween candy, then you have a very limited credibility and cachet going forward. And that's the opposite of what you want if you are the former president, who seems to be still grappling with the idea of whether or not to actually run in 2024. And he knows full well that others are looking at what he is doing and how his candidates that he's endorsing are faring, because if they are not winning, they might believe, well, then if you were to run, you would not win in these areas. So I bet he's looking at this in a very, very strategic way about how and where he doles out the endorsements. And this is yet another indication. But if people have to go to the lengths of trying to take out the ads for McConnell's ouster, I wonder how fearful some of the incumbents really are. Jason Michiak, thank you for your time. Nice talking to you.
Hey, it was fun. We'll speak to you soon, Laura.
Yes, I appreciate it.